Hey, nurse leaders. In previous episodes, we talked about lateral violence and bullying amongst nurses. But what would you do if the aggressor is your own boss? When is the right time to move on to a different role, even if it means letting go of your dream job? Our guest today talks about how she has navigated these challenges in her leadership journey. She also discusses how she found the strength and courage to transmute her unpleasant experience to launch her very own business supporting professional development in nursing. So let's jump right in. Welcome to the Insightful Nurse Leader. This is a podcast by nurse leaders for nurse leaders. This show is focused on assisting leaders become effective managers and change facilitators. I'm your host, Miles Perilla. Join me every week as I speak with fellow nurse leaders, share insights, lessons learned, and practical advice. So, whether you're a seasoned frontline leader, a budding charge nurse, an experienced manager, or executive, you don't want to miss this. Welcome to our 8th episode of the Insightful Nurse Leader. Our guest today is the founder of Professional Ascension. She helps nurses develop successful careers through mentoring and coaching with tools and strategies for professional development. She has a passion for the elevation of the nursing profession. She has been a nurse for 17 years and as a leader in healthcare for over 15 years with experience in case management, risk management, and quality management. Her clinical specialty is cardiovascular critical care, and she currently works as a cardiac surgery clinical nurse specialist in North Carolina. Please welcome Bonnie Meadows.
Hello.
Bonnie, welcome to the show. Thank you so much, and I'm really delighted to have you here. So Bonnie, can you share with us your nursing leadership journey and what motivated you to start Professional Ascension?
I would probably say the short of it is, or maybe the short and long of it, I started my nursing career in 2004. Leadership, I jumped right in as a charge nurse probably after about 8 months of being on my unit. I started out on a cardiothoracic step-down unit and then became charge nurse. At that point in time, shared governance wasn't really big, like you kind of heard of it, but you didn't. And they started what they would call a professional practice council on my unit. And you had to be at that point in time, it was a privilege and an honor to be a part of it. It would now be called a unit-based council as far as from a shared governance standpoint. But so I was then invited to be on that council, and that council was full of leaders on the unit. From there, I did some precepting, and that's how I mainly built my leadership skills, decided to move on to the ICU. You became a charge nurse there, preceptor, and just one of the education leaders on the unit, helped with teaching other nurses, just with competencies and things like that. And from there, I wanted to just kind of expand and build on my leadership skills, but I decided I didn't want to be a nurse manager. I wanted to do something a little different. I don't know why. I just decided that I didn't want to, the obvious path, because I was on a cardiothoracic surgery ICU, the obvious path is usually nurse practitioner or CRNA for those roles. And I didn't want to do either. I wanted to be in hospital leadership, but I didn't want to be a nurse manager. So I said, well, I knew that there were other options out there, but I just didn't know what those options were. And I'd gotten an opportunity to work in case management. Even in case management, you have to exhibit some good leadership skills because you're now guiding the patient on which route they need to take as far as what care looks like once they leave the hospital. And from there, while I was there, I took on some leadership roles, just small leadership roles of, helping with staffing and things like that. And of course, that carried over from when I was a charge nurse. And from there, I got the opportunity to work as a risk manager. And most people, I don't think that most nurses know, like we have our understanding of what a risk manager is. And it's that person who just comes in, and if they're coming, if you see them, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. But you have no idea that the risk manager is called upon by the vice president of the hospital or the assistant vice president of the hospital or the CEO, and you're providing them guidance on what they need to do to protect the reputation of the hospital. And that was huge. So I learned a lot working with chief medical officers and CNEs and just other assistant vice presidents and presidents throughout my hospital, the hospital system that I worked in, because it's quite a large hospital system. I was in our risk management department is a corporate department. And at that point in time, it covered about 9 hospitals, although I was only assigned to what our flagship hospital of our department or of our hospital system. And so leadership has to be exhibited from that standpoint, because you're making a lot of decisions based on your clinical judgment and your opinion of, again, what's the right thing to do, what will protect the hospital, and what will protect our employees at the same time, and our patients at the end of the day. Like, you want to make sure the patients are protected also. From there, I went on to become an outcome specialist, which is someone who works in quality management, and you pretty much work to improve, of course, the outcomes of the patient, reducing length of stay, readmissions, you know, working towards readmissions. And I covered a full service line. Again, mm-hmm. leadership skills needed there, because I had oversight over quality for non-hospitals and for rehab hospitals. And so from there, you're working with the chief medical officers from those hospitals. You're working with the CNE of those hospitals, but you're also working with the nurses of those hospitals. You're working with the presidents of those organizations. So there's a lot of leadership skills, and more so soft skills. So I would say I really don't have any true, I guess, managerial skills as far as disciplining of nurses and running operations, but my leadership skills come from those soft skills of knowing how to navigate conversations, knowing how to keep the ball rolling, keep projects moving forward, and then providing sound advice on what is best and right thing to do for the patient.
I totally agree with what you said. And thank you for sharing a lot of your background. And I really appreciate the diversity of the area of your focus, even, you know, more so on what you mentioned about your experience in risk management. In my, I think it was a 4th episode, I interviewed a manager specialist for one hospital in Bellevue, Washington. And to your point, it's really about the common concern is like, am I in trouble? But they truly want to help support nurses and be more proactive. And thank you for validating that. And thank you for sharing that, your story. In your website, you published a blog, Leaving the Dream Job, and it says 3 ways to identify bullying. Can you share or elaborate more about what you mean by this blog, and how were you able to navigate these challenges as you left your dream job?
I sure can. So when I was in risk management, I was in my, I believe, early 30s. I think it was early 30s. I actually thought I wouldn't be there for a little while, but I'd gotten my master's degree while I was there and felt like I wanted to expand on the use of my master's degree. And I'd always wanted to work in quality ever since, or do something in quality management ever since I was actually at the bedside in the cardiothoracic ICU, because we had a doctor there who was very much into, like, he was the one that introduced us into the Institute of Healthcare Improvement, and he talked about quality all the time. He's actually now like our quality person for our cardiovascular services. So he really got me in tune with quality improvement and how processes can really just help you as a nurse and help you to not only navigate between, you know, what you need to do from as far as the processes for your patient, but even in how it helps with communication and helps with the flow of your day. So either way, loved quality and decided that I wanted to go into a quality job. And one of the jobs that I had been eyeing for a long time opened up. And so I decided to apply for that job. I had a few people within that department that I knew well. I interviewed for it and got the job and was very excited. And as soon as I got in the job, probably about a month afterwards, my leadership changed. And I then had two managers and not one. One that was kind of like my solid line manager, and the other was like my dotted line manager. The dotted line manager was was very aggressive, very assertive. And that dotted line manager covered only a small piece of my work. But I was very determined to, you know, get done what I needed to get done. But as I got into the job and things got overwhelming, I found myself in a position to where there wasn't a whole lot of support. My manager, she was kind of at odds with everything that was going on because there was such a shakeup with the, not necessarily the leadership, but reassignment of who's covering what, this, that, and the other. And I think a lot of us as nurses end up in this situation, which is why we end up in burnout and just leaving jobs. But it was a situation where the work was overwhelming and no one was really listening. But I was determined. I was like, well, I've never quit a job and I've never had anybody to push me out of a job. And so I just kept, you know, trying to do what I needed to do. But this one dotted line person, like every time I did something wrong, it was almost like she lashed out at me every time. Or not necessarily, I may not have done something wrong, but I may have missed something or this, that, and the other. And she just, and she was actually younger than me, but she lashed out, but she had a director title, lashed out at me every time. She only covered about 10% of my work. The other 90% was covered by my main boss, but she was the loudest person in the room. And there would be times when I might make a mistake on something, or I might not move as fast as she thinks that I should move. And there was always backlash every time it occurred. There was never really any grace given. I was also coming from a place of working on limited background knowledge of quality improvement. Of course, it was my first job where I was like literally deep into quality. So just didn't really get that support that I needed from an education standpoint. So that wasn't helpful at all. But I just kept plowing through and I kept plowing through and refused to give up because it was a job that I really wanted. And I think by this time I had been in the job for maybe about 10 months. And finally, my boss just said, do you think we should probably find some other options for you? And I was like, yes. Never thought that I would say that before, but it had gotten so bad. And it was almost like it was a continuous cycle. And nothing that I did was ever going to get her off my back. She'd actually moved from one area of my work to a totally different, or to the other side of my work where the 90% of my work was. And I just decided it was time to move on. I had more than enough times of her lashing out at me. I probably cried that year more times than I'd cried in about the last 10 years. And I was like, it's just time to move on. I didn't realize that I was in the midst of lateral violence, though, until I was at my state nurses association conference. And usually there I get to connect with other nurses that work in my system. And they just happened to be, I was at the, at a table at dinner with two other nurses, and they just happened to be talking about lateral violence. And when they talked about it and talked about what it was, I was like, that's exactly where I am. That is exactly where I am, but just didn't know it. I just thought I was dealing with a mean boss or a mean somebody, but everything that she did was just so underhanded. Like it was never blatant, but other people around me who had the same roles as I, they knew what was going on and they saw it. But during that time, it really helped me to evaluate because I'm now sort of at my end. Like this was supposed to be my end job. And then I would figure out what was going, what I would do from there. But now it's like, well, what do you love? Like, what do you want to do? So then I decided, okay, I love quality. I do love quality. I just can't do this job. I just won't do this job, not with these people. Like, sometimes it's not necessarily the work, but sometimes it's the people, and sometimes it's the other way around. I recognize that I love leadership, but two other things that I recognize is that I love mentoring other nurses and that I love nursing. That job was the only job in my career where I'd been very far away from nursing. I worked with a lot of nurses, but it took me far away from nursing. And I realized at that point in time that that's not where I wanted to be as far as my career is concerned. Whatever I did, I wanted it to be and involve nursing at the forefront. Mm-hmm. And so, again, taught me three things. It helped me to recognize those things that are pillar to what my career should be about, those things that are my passion, those things that I should look to. So now every time I look for a job, I'm looking to make sure it hits those four things. Does it allow me to mentor? Does it keep me close to nursing? Does it have a quality improvement standpoint? And can I grow in leadership? It helped me to recognize that I had a bad boss. I had a lot of trust in my managers and never really questioned a lot of things that they did. I was too trusting of that other manager and should have called them to the carpet probably a little bit sooner, but I didn't. What's so funny or interesting is before I left the job, about 2 months before I left the job, I got a different manager. And before I even left, she said, "Are you sure you want to leave? Like, you don't have to leave. Are you sure you want to leave?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's time for me to go." Mm-hmm. But she was much more supportive than my manager ever was, in that I was there for a year and about 2 months. And that last 2 months was such a relief to have her there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. You know, I really appreciate how you were able to go through it, identify that it is an issue, and learn from a conference and conferred with your colleagues, and really did some self-reflection and transmuted that to something positive, that you're able to reevaluate what do you really love to do, and left that with a positive outlook with your career. So kudos on you for navigating that professionally and effectively.
Thank you. Thank you.
So with this experience, can you elaborate more about how did all this lead to motivate you to start professional development in your business, the Professional Ascension?
So after I made the decision to move on, I decided to go back to school to become a clinical nurse specialist. But during that time, I was placed in what we call a service line educator job, and it just a nurse who focuses on staff development. And that's where I really found, like, okay, yes, I love mentoring, I love nurses. But that's where I really found that a lot of nurses are probably like me, where they don't necessarily want to, because I'm interacting. I covered critical care. So most of those nurses, again, the logical route is to go NP or to go to CRNA school. But there are a lot of nurses who don't necessarily want to do that. And they want to know what their options are from there. I also have that passion for leadership, and also wanting to talk more about leadership from the soft skills side of it, not necessarily from an organizational management piece. I can definitely help you navigate the waters of how to have crucial conversations, but just from having conversations with nurses and just knowing my journey, I really wanted to have a platform to share that with other nurses and to help them to figure out what they should do next in their career. I felt like I learned a lot of gems going through that experience of leaving the dream job. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be able to give that to other nurses to say, hey, these are some things that you should do to help develop your career. Plus, I am so big on professionalism and professionalism in nursing. And I feel like we have a lot of it, And there are in a lot of pockets, we don't have a lot of it. Of course, I see a lot of it because I go to my State Nurses Association convention every year. I've been going every year since 2012. And so I see what professionalism in nursing looks like and what it can be for the profession if more of us just really get on board with this is just more than a job. It is truly a profession. And if you really just find what your niche is in nursing, that's where we can grow as a nursing body. And so that's how that transformed into me wanting to start my business. And so I just share that knowledge with other nurses on how to develop professionally, how to advance their careers. Because also, Miles, as you can see, I've had several jobs. So,
Correct. Which has contributed greatly to a vast area of knowledge and expertise and made you a better leader.
Right. Absolutely.
Thank you. Certainly. That's very nice of you to share that. Can you elaborate more on how do you differentiate career advancement versus professional development?
So professional development is what gets you your career advancement. Mm-hmm. Your professional development is you going back to school, you taking different courses, you going to different conventions and conferences. That's you doing poster presentations. That's you doing podium presentations. That's your professional development. That's you taking certifications and things like that. Your career advancement is you taking all of those pieces that you've learned and now applying it to what's the next job that is best for me? What is the next step in my career path? And you, when you're doing your professional development, it needs to lead to what are your goals in career advancement. And so that's the difference for me.
Thank you. And would you say they complement each other?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You won't be able to advance unless you develop professionally.
Sounds good. Thank you. I totally agree. So we've all heard the term most recently, great resignation, right? And this is the state of nursing nationally, perhaps worldwide. What is your perspective on nurses resigning in large quantities, given that you yourself have moved from career or areas of focus to another, but now in a larger scale, we see this a lot. You have hospitals paying a lot of money, you have others moving for different kinds of reasons. But given your experience on career advancement and transitioning to what you love to do, what is your perspective on this specific trend in nursing?
My first thought is it breaks my heart to see nurses just jump ship and just go to different places. Maybe some thought process behind it, may not be. However, it breaks my heart to see the things that are going on at the bedside and the fact that you're tired, you're exhausted, you see the same things over and over again, and you see that it can be prevented. You know, it's honestly no different from prior to COVID. It's, you know, the frequent flyers that we see in the hospital, and it's, oh, so-and-so's back again, or da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, you deal with that. And sometimes most nurses, they just like, that piece I can't deal with. But they don't necessarily quit their job over it. They just decide to move, like just to a different department. But a lot of people are just, you know, deciding to go and travel. I saw a tweet from a nurse, one of the nurses that I follow, and she said her and her colleagues talked about it a while ago, but never thought that they would see it in their lifetime of gig nursing. And I was like, I never thought about it like that, like gig nursing.
What is gig nursing?
Gig nursing is really just like if you're just working for a gig. You're not necessarily working because it's your passion. It's, you know, where you want to be. You're going to get the money. That's gig nursing. And that's what our travel agencies have turned us into. You're going to get the money because I'm going to work this gig over here so I can pay off some debt, so I can da-da-da-da-da. Not necessarily, oh, I'm going to this job because it will help me to develop my skills, you know? But I also say this too will pass. And we are a product of the economy that is around us and our surroundings. You know, when the recession hit in 2008, we felt it, but we didn't really feel it. It didn't hit healthcare like it hit everyone else. Mm-hmm. This, we feel. It's hitting us just like it's hitting everyone else. And so we are just a product of the environment that is around us and all of the resignations that are happening across the nation. Honestly, that everybody else is just pretty much kind of jumping ship. But, you know, you want to be able to work in a good environment. You want to be heard. And I think the other piece to that is we've been screaming to the top of our lungs for so long, these are not safe work environments, or we do need more help, or we do need more pay. And there have been times where we've not been heard, and now it's like, okay, well, now this is going on and now we're being heard. So just a combination of things. Again, I believe this too will pass, and we will get back to a state where nursing, where there's just a settling of nursing. Of course, you know, we already had the shortage looming before COVID, and then now COVID is here and it just exacerbates things. But I look forward to what things will look like on the other side of it. I'm very hopeful that it will it will turn out for the better.
Thank you. Well, you said it really well that, you know, their other nurses are going to more pay. They want to have, you know, better compensation because historically they felt like there's not been enough compensation given the workload that nurses do and the risks that it involve. And perhaps now for them, they see this as an opportunity to be able to get compensated appropriately or if not even more. And I believe you mentioned too, is they want to feel valued, feeling heard, as you had mentioned. With that, what do you think nurses really need right now? The money part is a very kind of a very immediate gratification, so to speak.
Yeah.
But what do you think nurses really need right now?
I almost want to say I feel like they want to be heard. But again, as you say, the money part is not it. But sometimes it's just, let's look at new ways of doing things. Let's adjust our environments. For example, a lot of times we'll say, we need more money, we need more money, we need more money. And sometimes we just need more help. So the nurse takes on whatever dietary doesn't do. The nurse takes on whatever the environmental services doesn't do. The nurse takes on whatever clinical engineering might not do. It's, we take on all of these things that really aren't, like, if everybody played their role and the nurse just focused on what they needed to focus on, then I think that would have them even more fulfilled because they would be able to spend that time with their patients, which is why they went into nursing in the first place, to make a difference. And so that, from an executive standpoint, is what they need. Yes, they need more money. Yes, they need to be compensated, but they also need support from other ancillary areas to say, we'll take care of this, you take care of the patient. We'll take care of that, you just take care of the patient.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So along the lines of feeling valued and helping nurses be retained in an organization or in the industry, part of that is building resilience. What have you found to be an effective way or ways to build and support nursing resilience?
One of the most effective ways is to be around positive, like-minded individuals. We'll all have our opportunities to fuss about this, that, and the other. But when you're truly around a group of nurses who loves nursing, who love patients, it's just refreshing to, one, be able to step away, not always work overtime, but to also get together with like-minded nurses, refresh on, and that always happens at a conference. A conference has always refueled my bucket, and it's one thing that nurses can do to refuel their buckets. Thank goodness now conferences are able to be held in person, which helps. That helps a lot. But I truly believe that that is one of the best ways to build resilience, is to make sure that you're out having conversations with other nurses in other areas, saying, yes, I understand your pain, but yes, we can do this, we can move forward. And then trying your best. I know, you know, you get the, sometimes even the calls to come in causes people stress. And I get that. I totally get that. But just resisting at those times and just saying, you know, this is, I need to focus. I need to regroup. I need to recharge. And that's one of the best ways. Those are some of the best ways to me that you build resilience.
Thank you. I totally agree. So with nurse resilience, right, one of the, I guess, the big trends right now in nursing or in healthcare or in anything, workforce in general, well, particularly in healthcare, we have nurses potentially or probably have lost their jobs due to the vaccine mandates. And a big part of that is that internally, it has also somehow caused some division amongst nurses, those who are vaccinated or those who are not vaccinated. And it may not be all generic or widely prevalent in other organizations than others. But nonetheless, from a society standpoint, it has caused some sort of division with that, whether belief systems and such. What have you found to be a good support with your team with respects to their personal beliefs that are impacting workplace?
One, I found that if you keep your focus on the patient, that just kind of helps to keep things at a minimum within the workplace and keeps people from being at odds within the workplace. When you focus on the patient and it just being about the patient, then that will kind of help to reduce all of the extra chatter that may happen because of someone's beliefs within the workplace, even before vaccine mandates and all of these other things. I'm a Christian. I don't mind exhibiting my faith, but I try to stay clear of any political or religious conversations, especially if it's going to stir up tension. Like we're here to take care of patients. We're here to make it a peaceful environment for them because they don't want to be here, but they do want a peaceful environment to be able to heal in. And so that should be our focus. And if we keep our focus on that, then that will help us to kind of reduce tensions regarding the vaccine mandate.
I totally agree. Thank you. And that pretty much fundamentally should all of our focus should be, whether individually or as health systems and such. So thank you for that insight. So are there any current trends that's unique to North Carolina that you notice that are making an impact to nursing?
I would say probably the vaccine mandate is probably the main thing. Mm-hmm. North Carolina is a state where we have some of the lowest vaccination rates. And, you know, you just believe that a lot of that is coming from the community aspect because we get more than enough information. Like, it's not that you don't have enough information as a nurse to make an informed decision. That information is coming left and right, but it's what goes on in your community that affects your thought process regarding whether you should or should not take the vaccine. And so that in and of itself has affected, that trend in and of itself has affected North Carolina. And I'm not sure if it's more than other places, but that's the only trend, of course, that I can think of right now, besides the nursing shortage.
And as you said, focusing on the patient
can
help us just really focus on what we're here to do. Well, right. Thank you for sharing that. So this is a very insightful conversation. Thank you so much for your time. Do you have any recommendation or practical advice to our fellow nurse leaders out there?
Keep learning. Keep learning and stay teachable. That would be my advice to our fellow nurse leaders. Sometimes we feel like we've heard it all, we've seen it all, but our nurses just have such a different perspective, and every nurse, they're all different. And you'd be amazed at who you talk to and you ask them their opinion on, well, what do you think about such and such? Like a lot of times our leaders, we don't want to ask the question, but sometimes we need to ask a question because you don't even have to go far to look for a solution because somebody's going to have the solution for you. Mm-hmm. Just listen, keep learning, and stay teachable.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a very wonderful time to have a conversation with you. How can our listeners connect with you?
Well, I have a website. It is called www.professionalascension.com. You can also find me on Facebook under Professional Ascension. I have a Twitter page. It's at Profess Assis, Ascench, Ascen, Ascen, Profess Ascen. I had to shorten it because Twitter would not allow me to have all of my words. I do have an Instagram page, but it's not like up and running. But and then, of course, hopefully soon I will have a podcast up and running. But until then, those are the best places that people can connect with me.
Thank you so much for your time. And it's a delight to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To view the complete show notes and all the links mentioned in today's episode, visit milesperillaconsulting.com/podcast. And before you go, make sure you follow or subscribe to this podcast so you can receive the latest episodes as soon as they're released. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and review in Apple Podcast. Thank you again for joining me. This is your host, Miles Perilla, and you're listening to The Insightful Nurse Leader. I'll see you next time.